Dear friends in Christ, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, the Church for well over 1,000 years has observed this day as like an anticipation of what we are preparing for during Lent. The emphasis now today is not simply on sin and penance, the general theme of Lent, but on our Lord's mercy, the mercy of our Heavenly Father, shown above all in what Jesus has done for us on the cross and then his glorious resurrection. We're invited to recall that it was our sins that sent Jesus to the cross. That's, they say, the main theme of Lent. But today especially we remember that that wasn't the end. That the cross was crowned by our Lord's triumph over death. And so we have light hearts today, expressed by the lighter coloured vestments, the pink rose coloured vestments we use on this special day. We heard in the first reading how God's mercy was also manifested to the Israelites when finally they had completed or almost completed their long pilgrimage through the desert after being freed from the slavery of Egypt. And now that rather boring, weird food, the manna that fell down from heaven every night, it was kind of bland, it didn't have much taste. Now that was replaced by the food of the land of Canaan, the promised land, which they could eat the fruits of that land. And the Lord says to them, today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you. Egypt often symbolizes, the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt was seen by the great ancient fathers and theologians as a symbol of our bondage to sin. And the pilgrimage of the Israelites being liberated from Egypt, traveling through the desert towards the promised land, is like a symbol of how after we've been freed from sin, first by baptism and our faith in Jesus, we are traveling through this desert, we could say, this valley of tears, which is our present life, which has joys but a lot of sorrow as well, towards the promised land of eternal life. And today, I think, in this year of mercy, the parable of the prodigal son has a very special relevance to us. It's paradoxical in a way, almost like a contradiction. We reflect that it's only when once we recognize the ugliness and disgrace of sin in our own lives that we find true happiness and peace of heart. We have to recognize that first. Just like the prodigal son, after wasting all that inheritance on loose living, he came to find out that the superficial allure of a sinful lifestyle does not bring lasting happiness. It's very superficial. And so only when he recognized his folly, his stupidity, the grievous offense that he'd committed, only then does that open the way for him to go back and receive the mercy of his Father. He has to come to that realization. And so often in our own time, we've lost sight of the true ugliness of sin and all that it means. We forget that our sins drove Jesus to the cross. That's how serious it is. Back in about the 1940s or 50s, 60, 70 years ago, Pope Pius XII commented, he said, the great sin of the 20th century in our Western countries, the great sin has been the loss of the sense of sin. Our self-satisfaction, our pride with our technological advances, our cultural sophistication, we've lost sight of the sense of sin. And that's so true. Not long ago, I was reading about an interview with a very prominent politician in this country. In fact, he's been a presidential candidate. And he was talking about, the interviewer was talking about his values, asking him about religion in his life. And he said, yes, he believes in God, and God is important to him, and he prays. And the interviewer asked him, he said, have you ever asked God forgiveness? Have you asked God's forgiveness for your sins? And he thought for a moment, and according to the report, he said, well, no, I can't remember ever having asked God to forgive me. He said, my attitude is, if I make mistakes, he said, I often make mistakes, well, my attitude, it's positive. You try to do better the next time. And it struck me, that's a pretty superficial answer, right? The emphasis is all on me, on the human level. If I've done something, made a mistake, done something wrong, well, I'll try to do better the next time, but it's all about me. There's no sense there of sin as an offense against our loving Heavenly Father. The worst thing about sin is not that it hurts my neighbor, which it usually does. Even more serious, it's an offense against the one who loves us so much. And the parable of the prodigal son really brings that out. God's mercy is surprising. Just like it's the father's mercy in the parable really surprises and annoys that elder brother. He'd never got such treatment, and he'd never done anything terribly wrong. Would it have been unjust for the father to take that prodigal son back just as a worker? Hire him? That's what he was expecting. Well, no, that would have been quite just and fair. But our God is one who goes further than justice. He prefers mercy and compassion to justice. And that's what the parable teaches us about God our Father. That if we repent and come back to him, he doesn't just kind of tell us, well, yeah, okay, you're forgiven. Embraces us. Welcomes us warmly. Just last week in my little trip that I've been away on, I stayed for a couple of days with a priest friend in a parish in San Francisco. He was telling me about how one of his parishioners there not too long before had been coming to Mass for a long time, but she never went to the sacraments. And she was always looked very nervous and tense. And somebody, one of her family, I think, finally persuaded her, Mom, you should go to confession. And my priest friend told me, he said, she went to confession. And I could say this without breaking any secret, of course, because nobody knows. I don't know who she is. He said, she had been away from confession for about 30 or 40 years. And he said he heard her confession and helped her to remember things she'd done. And he was telling me, this was just not long ago, he said, and you just wouldn't believe the difference in that lady. When she was at Mass next Sunday after that, she was just so lighthearted and peaceful and happy. She's like a different woman. The second reading today that we heard in Hungarian says that in Christ we are new creatures. Jesus makes us new. When we recognize that ugliness of sin in our life, ask his forgiveness. He welcomes us joyfully, lovingly, with an embrace. But let's finally recall on this Laetare Sunday what we're looking forward towards, especially on this day. The cross is followed by the triumph of Christ over sin and death. His triumph in rising from the grave. Just at this time, I think it's appropriate to mention this. There's a very nice, a very good film showing at the moment about our Lord's resurrection. In fact, during my little break, I saw it with some friends in Atlanta a few days ago. It's called simply one word, Risen. And it's playing at the Wehrenberg theaters around the St. Louis area and out across all around this area. And it's really very well done. It's like a historical novel, but it imagines, remember the Roman soldier who pierced our Lord's side on the cross and the blood and water flowed out? We don't know who he was, but it's an imaginative reconstruction of that soldier, that Roman tribune, and how he saw Jesus dead on the cross. And then how Pontius Pilate, he has to negotiate getting these soldiers to guard the tomb, right? So that the disciples wouldn't come and take the body, and then the resurrection, and they can't find how the stone was rolled away. And all this is reconstructed in a very lifelike, very convincing way. And eventually, this Roman soldier, who's a sort of a hardened, tough, you know, he doesn't believe in anything much. But finally, he, with the disciples, he's tracking down the disciples. He wants to arrest them, you know, and give them trouble. But he finally is privileged to find the disciples during one of the appearances of the risen Jesus. And he's just so shocked and taken aback. He just can't believe his eyes, and it takes a while. He eventually comes around to having faith that Jesus is truly risen. But it's impressive. At least I found it a very impressive movie, because it makes our faith in the resurrection really lifelike. We've all learned from the time we were little children about Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. We're kind of familiar with all that. It's kind of an old story to us. But this movie helped me to imagine you'd never even thought of that. And you hear that some people are saying this guy is risen from the dead. Oh, that's just a completely crazy myth, and they're making this up, and this is crazy. And then you find out, you see, that it's true. And how this changes not just your life, it changes the whole of history, the whole of creation. So I recommend you see it, although there's some, at the beginning of the movie, there's some pretty violent scenes involving the crucifixion of our Lord. So smaller children, you'd have to be prudent about that. Parents might not be so good. But there's no bad language or anything like that in it. But it's a really good movie. I'd recommend it as a Lenten, particularly today, Laetare Sunday. We're looking forward to the triumph of Easter, right? And while it's on the movies, and it mightn't be here still on the cinemas by Easter time, but to me it was a good prayer, a way of praying and reflecting and meditating on the message of Lent and of Easter. So let's rejoice today in the Lord, who embraces and welcomes us as sinners with his divine mercy, as we anticipate today the wonder and glory of the crown of eternal life that follows triumphantly from the way of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.